This is the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, and this is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
This is Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And welcoming our host, Alfonso.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey. Awesome. So, glad you're all listening to our award-winning podcast.
Well, we're gonna beat that one down until it's dead and buried, aren't we?
It's been buried and beaten, unfollowed many times.
Yeah, you know, I'm up to 24 unfollowers, by the way.
You can't stop award winners.
Yeah.
I just don't follow people, so I don't lose any.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being professional,
what's up?
That'll segue us right into our topic today.
All right, now, what do you got?
This is gonna be an interesting one because it's more semantics. Because I really don't think it should change anything about what you're doing, but you've got community theater and you've got professional theater, right? Now, somewhere along the way, I think that people decided that if you're not getting paid, it doesn't count, and that maybe you can cut corners, maybe you can be a little bit lazy, maybe you can, hey, I'm not getting paid for this, we're just doing this for fun, right? If you've ever been in a room where actually people care and they show up and they're locked in, you know that when that's not the case and everybody's invested in what it is, it can be very real. So I want to go right into that. And Michael, I'll start with you on this right here. With community theater and professional theater, do you see that some actors treat it differently if they're not getting paid?
No. Nathan, your turn. No, I'm kidding.
Same. That was a good episode, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. See you guys in episode 4.
It was the award winner.
54.
There's two ways that you can look at it. And so I guess we'll start with this way. You know, it's the way that you should say it shouldn't matter. I mean, if you're going in putting 100% into it, then... You know, you should be taking it as seriously as you can. I mean, especially if you want to go somewhere. If you are the actor that's coming in and you want to do this professionally one day, don't start when the money comes in. Don't think like, well, when I get paid, that's when I'll treat it as seriously as like, I'll treat it seriously to an extent, but not like if I'm getting paid. Like, don't think like that. If you want to be a professional actor, start showing that right now. Because people are going to be looking at that, saying, like, they want to get paid. Are they worth the money? Like, what are they bringing to the table at some point? Because right now, I see them, and it doesn't look like they would be worth the money. And it's, you know, because the actor, if the actor's thinking that, well, it's not a paying job. So, I'll show up, and I'll do my thing to an extent. If you are wanting to go in that direction, don't wait for that money. Act as professional as you can right now. Show everybody what you can do and let the producers and the directors see that you are indeed worth that. And if you keep doing that, that is what will happen. You know, if you got to keep pushing yourself and showing and not missing an opportunity. Now, on the flip side of that, there is a flip side that you can look at it. Because when you are getting paid for something, then a lot of this really, really expected of you. I mean, we kind of expect the volunteers to act professional, but it's like, you know, this isn't going to make any sense because we expect the volunteers to act professional as well. But man, if I'm paying you, you really, really better act professional. I mean, if you're a volunteer and you come up to me and say, hey, I've got this thing, I've got an appointment I can't miss, it's just going to be a one-time thing, can you work with me on that? Okay, maybe. I'm paying you, hey, can I have that? No. It's like, no. Like, you're accepting money. Because if it were the flip way around, if it was the flip side, like, Alfonso, you were working for me and I was paying you and you did everything. You were keeping every bit of your end of the agreement. And I came up and was like, Alfonso, would it be okay if I didn't pay you? Or if I paid you a little bit less, would that bother you? It's like, no, you're entering a contract right now. I'm saying I'm going to pay you, and you're saying that you're going to deliver. And I don't want to make that seem like, you know, it's a bad relationship, but it's a business relationship.
Well, I'd get paid one way or the other, Michael. I'll tell you that.
I'd give you an award. And three followers.
There you go.
But it's you know, once that happens and there's a contract and there is a business relationship, you know, both sides got to keep their agreement. So there is that way to look at it as well, where it's like, okay, you're not getting paid, you're not held maybe to that same standard. But again, like I said, it's not going to quite make sense because you do want to hold the volunteers, you do want them to act professional as well. You want everybody acting professional, but Nathan, am I even wording this correctly?
Yeah, no, okay. It sounds really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I agree. I think, well, the actual like definition, kind of not like Webster's Dictionary, but the definition of professional is that you're getting paid to do a job, whether it be an actor, singer, dancer, production team, you're getting monetary compensation, period. However, I look at it on another level. I look at it on the level of that whether, and I said this like in a couple episodes, if you're getting a dollar or $5,000, I would imagine that you, at least for me, integrity-wise, you should be giving your all to no matter what it is. And whether it's theater, job, lawn mowing, whatever you're doing, you should always be giving your best. So at Legendary, I always say a professional community theater because it's not the monetary part we used to pay, but it's more about the quality we're going to be producing is going to be professional level. And sometimes we come up short on that, but if as the director or artistic producer and Steve and I are chatting and we're not pushing to be professional, even with a budget that is 1% what a real professional theaters get, then why are we doing it? It's not worth it. And who is going to invest in that vision if we're not striving to be the best quality possible? So I think it's more about that. And then on a separate level, for me, it's not necessarily about the pay, even though I've done paid gigs, you've done paid gigs, Mike's done paid gigs, John's done paid gigs, we've all done paid gigs. And I know all of us well enough to know that we give our all no matter what. But for me, when it comes to the word community theater, it's more about building a family, a network of people that can come and have unity through art after their busy day, their long days. They get to come and create art together and be a part of something bigger than just their individual self.
You know, when you're doing it professionally, you're there and it's your job, and you go in there and you clock in, you do your dance, you sing a song, and you clock out and you go home. When you're doing community theater, you're not getting paid. So why are you there? For me, I'm there for the love of the game. I'm there because I want to be there. So I feel
project.
It's a passion project. So I've worked in professional environments where it's almost sterile. People are coming in, whether with their sheet music, perfect posture. It's great. We're going to do this perfectly. But in community theater, we still have those professional standards. However, there's also hey, we're doing this because of literally the passion, not because I have to pay my rent. I pay my rent through other things. I'm doing this because I love it very much. So that being said, Mike, I'll ask you this. Is it fair to expect high standards from those performers or your crew when they're not being paid?
Well, I think you said something in there. You know, why am I doing this? And I had a college professor, and he said something, the same thing. He's like, every performer needs to ask themselves, why am I doing this? Because there's going to come a time where you're not going to like some of the stuff that goes on. And even if the, you know, the show's going perfectly and everything, you like everybody in the cast, there's going to be a time where you've worked a really long day, you're in a mood, you've hit traffic on the way to the theater, you're tired, and that particular night you don't want to be there. And you may have to ask yourself, why am I here? And, you know, he said, is it for the money? Is it because you want social time with your friends? Is it because you want to learn something? Is it because you want to gain experience? Like, what is the reason? Everybody's got to do that and grasp onto it. And probably, you know, for me, I've had all those reasons. Like, I love doing shows. I get to go down and create art with my friends. And sometimes, there's sometimes maybe there's a payment for it. And not always, but sometimes there is. And I mean, especially, you know, like I'm trying to think back to my early years. Sometimes you would want to get experience, but you just have to ask yourself, like, well, I'm here, I'm exhausted, I wish I were somewhere else tonight, but no, I'm going to put 100% in because I wanted to get experience, and this is how it is, and I'm learning a lot, even though I'm not feeling it tonight. Here I am, or I wanted to be with my friends, and here I am. They're asking me to sweep the floor, and I don't really want to sweep the floor, but you know what? I get to be with my friends, so I'm going to sweep the floor tonight. That's good, you know, something like that. So, like, why are you there, and what are you taking away from it? And I think I usually like to ask my cast members that as well. It's like, why are you here? Like, what are you looking for? Is this something that you're chasing? You want to do this professionally one day? Is this just for fun for you? Is it, what was the question? You hold them to professional standards?
Is it fair to hold them to that high standard, even if they're not getting paid?
I like to think that you again, it is different when there is a business relationship right there, but yeah, you do want to hold everybody to high standards. I think that you're a little bit more understanding here and there, but at the same point in time, you know, when they come in, you're letting them know, hey, the audience is still coming. And the audience is paying money for this. And maybe while you're not getting cash from it, the theater is. I mean, it's what keeps the community theater going, their support. And they're giving their time and they're giving their support. And we want to do a good job for them. And doing a good job means coming in and having those professional standards and making sure that you get the job done. And so I think everybody better come in and had, you know, should be putting their best foot forward. Will it happen every night? Maybe not, but, like, you know, if it's not 99% of the time, there's a little bit of an issue.
Right.
Well, I think my job as a director, and even just as a human being on this earth, is to instill growth and to help people grow, to learn something new. So even outside of a professional thing, I hope someone that comes through Legendary's doors or go through shows that I'm a part of or even come across me as in life, and it doesn't always happen, but my goal is to change, affect, move them. And if that means that because of their experience with me, they grew a little bit, now they're on Broadway, not because of me, but I was one cobblestone, one little block that was a part of that growth for them, that's why I'm there. And then if I can have an impact in them, to have an impact in the audience, to make the audience be changed, affected, and moved, then I feel like I'm doing my part to the big, we'll say, big picture of life. And I don't think you need a contract to take it seriously. Like, I don't think you need a paycheck to treat people well. You don't need a title to act like a professional. You have to decide that it just matters. And I think people that choose to do community theater and professional theater, honestly, they have to make a choice to go, it matters. The bigger picture matters, to tell a story, to take people away from reality. I remember during, I hate to say the C word, but during COVID, all the TV shows started having episodes on COVID, epidemic breakouts. And I was watching these shows and I was sitting there going, man, I want to offer entertainment that's not giving me a sense of reality all the time. So when we got to start doing shows again, and there were some shows that came out that were new that would drop the C word or go, oh, it's because of COVID, punchline, or depressing. I wanted to avoid that because sometimes people watch theater to escape their reality, to go somewhere that they've only dreamed about, that they've only imagined, that they've read about. And if I could be a part of that, to take people on these journeys, because I've experienced that being in the theater, the television and film world, I got to experience that behind the scenes. But how many times have we watched a show and we're crying or we're laughing? Or looking at our partner going, wow, this is good. If I could be a part of that big picture and instill that into a cast or a team, then hot dog, like, we win. You know, like, we're contributing to something that matters. And at the end, Community theater works. Let me go down. I made notes when Mike was talking. At the end of the day, community theater works because people care. They care about the show. They care about the process. They care about each other. And when everyone's on the same page, it starts to feel like a family, and you're a part of something bigger. And there's countless stories. And I've worked the professional theater world. In community theater, there's so many stories about people that just don't feel like they belong. They feel like an outcast. They don't have a connection. That because of that theater connection, not legendary as a whole, but in general, that theater connection, that family feel, because of that, it matters. And they're a part of something bigger. We get to disagree politically, spiritually, but when you come to do art together, you get that unity and go, oh, wow, we vibe on something. We're connecting. And that can make you feel like that connection on stage is so authentic that the audience feels that too, and they walk out going, wow, they really feel like they're being real on stage. And then they walk out going, wow, I want to contribute to that. I want to be a part of something real, whether it be theater or they go into their own world and bubble and have that same effect. Pay it forward. And I really think that's the plus of community theater. The professionalism is doing the best quality possible, in my opinion.
I got a story that could tag into this. This was not one that I was directing. This was a show that I was in, and we were getting paid for it. It wasn't a ton, but it was a nice little amount there. So just to preface that, the actors were getting paid. And we are going into Tech Week, and the one of the lead parts comes in, and he has a dad that was older, mm-hmm. and his dad had to go to a doctor's appointment or have some procedure done, and it was going to be on one of the tech rehearsals. And the director, it was two directors on there. They were a married couple, and they're like, absolutely not. No, your dad can schedule a different appointment. He's like, you don't understand. He's not going to get another appointment. This is serious, and there's nobody that can take him. There's nobody that can take care of him except for me, and I need to miss the dress rehearsal on that night. And I didn't hear the start of the conversation or the end of the conversation. I just kind of heard that going on as I was passing by, and he's ticked off about it. He was like, dude, it's my dad. Family has to come first, and this, he could die if I don't. And well, the next night I show up, and one of the directors is just in tears. Like the lady is in tears, and her husband looks over at me, gives me this look, and goes, yeah, your scene partner is not gonna be here tonight. And I'm just like, ooh, and I kind of walk out of the room, and I'm like, oh boy, that could be, one of those instances where you like look at it and be like, okay, we are getting very nice stipends, but it's not at the professional level. Should he have been there? Should he have this is a hard one all around, mm-hmm. because it's like, man, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Right. You're either going to let your dad down, or you're going to let your cast down, the director down, the audience down. And you're like, well, one could be a life and death situation. One is I hate to put it at a lower level, but one is a play.
Right.
And that was a tough one. And the directors were so upset with this guy. They came in and told the rest of the cast, he's done, just so you know. And if any of you think of taking a night off, because this is what we're going to do, we're going to, and they did. Like, they sent this guy's headshot out to like every theater around saying, do not cast him. We have just worked with him. He is, and I'm like, that is really vindicative. That's like really, like, whew. And they did this with another actor too. I didn't see the show, but there was another actor that dropped out of a show with them. And then I went backstage at a theater. They had this guy's picture up backstage with a big thing, do not cast if he comes. Like, and they weren't even they weren't even directing in that theater anymore. They just left it up in the green room. And it was like, dude.
I'm opposite of that. Like, Steve and I, we've lost. And this isn't like a look at us go, but it just proves that the mentality of a community theater or a family value. We've canceled shows. That not just because if someone got hurt or something, but we've canceled shows because someone's been sick or a family member of someone in our cast has passed away, and they're even out of state, but they're just too messed up, and they rightfully so. We've canceled shows, and we've lost thousands of dollars doing that. At the end of the day, I know I speak for Steve on this, I don't care. Close the theater doors, because I truly believe people matter. And in the professional, quote-unquote, world, I've seen the opposite. I've seen people be told, you're a dime a dozen. There's 1,000 of you that came out. I can get rid of you tomorrow. And you're like, thank you? Like, ouch. And I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've also been on the crew where I'm hiring stunt guys and special effects crew guys. And I go, well, you know, you showed up late. And there's guys that will come an hour early. Like, you got to go. And it's hard. But when it comes to this, I take it so serious, but when it comes to that family feel of community theater, it's more about the connection in the relationship of the audience, the cast, and that's what matters most. And because of that, your shows will, I feel, they invest in that vision, the shows will be professional as much as you can with your budget.
I want to back up a little bit right there about the headshot going out to the directors.
Yeah.
Is that something that's common? As a director, does that happen for you? Do you get those? And how seriously do you take that?
No, that is not something that I've seen happen a lot, but it was something that they did. They were so upset.
I've seen it. I've seen it where people email or call, and 9 times or 10 times out of 10, unless it's something illegal... But 9 times out of 10, I go, thank you so much for the heads up. We'll definitely be on the lookout. But everybody that comes to Legendary Doors, I'm not just saying this, and I treat everyone this in my life too. You come into my life, you start at 100%. I don't start at, you get 1% and you earn respect and you grow into this. You start at 100. And you're lucky, because if something happens in the first day and you need money, I'll probably sell my car to help you out. But you start at 100. And if you lie, you manipulate, you trick, you play me, you think I'm stupid and I don't get to see emails or hear whispers behind 6-inch walls or fabric that's the dressing rooms. You don't think I hear you or people tell us? Like, hello, it's a curtain, I hear you. But I think it's the opposite. People reach out and I just go, thank you so much. And obviously I'm not disrespectful. If they're being condescending, I'm like, hey, you need to let this go. Like, you're carrying away all that anger. It's only going to get heavier for you. If you let it go, you're going to realize, whew, that's lighter. I sometimes try to help them and go, just let it go. And even me, sometimes I get mad at actors or actresses when they're disrespectful, or we get in a tiff or a fight. I'm over it. I get over it. Same with my family. We get in a big fight. 5 minutes later, my brother Shane would go, hey, want to go play basketball? Yeah, let's go. Didn't matter. We just fist fought, and I have like a rib swollen. My lungs are having trouble breathing. I'm like, oh, gosh. You just get over it, you move on, and you learn from it, and hopefully you can still play basketball, you know? So we do get information, and even when it's, I know they've been trouble in the past, I still go, hey, I'm going to start him at 98%, you know? Let's try this again. Maybe I was just a punk. Maybe it just didn't viable. Maybe they were going through something I don't know about. So I think we always try to do that. I know Steve and I, we start at 100%, and let them say, I hate you. Okay. So that's kind of what it is.
Okay, yeah. I thought that was interesting. I didn't know how common that was, but
maybe more common than I. Yeah, I don't talk to a whole lot of other directors, so maybe that's more common than I know. I come down here and talk to Nathan.
Well, yeah. Even Mike, even in the past where you've had trouble with actors, you'll vent to me about them, but you've never said to me. And there's been a handful of people that have bailed on, not a handful. There's been shows that people have been a part of and they dropped because they got a bigger role. And you're like, can you believe they dropped? And you've called me. But you've never said to me, I'm thinking about 2, Great Value Me and other people, but that dropped on you. But you never said, hey, don't cast him. Like, you've never said that to me, I don't think. Have you?
I don't think so.
I know there's a Great Value version of me out there that you said it, that once, but...
I mean, I have had conversations with actors about that, because, like, it was true. Like, when I was directing some college shows.
That's what I was referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that was, and you know, gosh, that's been about 15 years back.
Holy mackerel.
No, it's been longer than 15 years back.
Probably 17, actually.
About probably 17, 18. But, yeah, I remember I was directing out there, and, you know, you get your I think we held auditions in like May.
Mm-hmm.
And this was to for the new semester, which was going to start like around August, September, so that we'd go into having our cast in place. And so I get this cast set, like awesome cast. And then right before the semester over there starts, I get a email like, hey, I don't think I can do the show. And I'm like, and that's all it said. I don't think I can do the show. And I'm like, wait, you don't think you can do the show, or you know you can't do the show? Like, what is it? Is there a chat? I can't do the show. He, like, emails back. And then I see the guy in another cast.
Right.
Running the same time as ours. And you know, it doesn't take much to figure out what happened. Right. I was like, oh, you dropped us for a better part. Well, then I'm doing another show at the college, and the same guy comes into audition. And I'm like, dude, we got a problem here. And I remember I pulled him aside and it was like, here's the problem. You're good. And everybody knows you're good. You're too good to be in the chorus. You are, I mean, not too good to be in the chorus, but it's like, you know, I don't want to put you in the chorus when you are, you know, you should be in the lead role, but I don't trust you in the lead role, because what happens if you get a better part again? You're just going to, you know, leave our commitment. Leave the show and go do this other part you've already shown me before. And so it's like, I don't want to sit around and just hope that nobody is going to offer you a lead part. I mean, you are a very talented actor. I know it. You know it. Other directors know it. You're going to get other offers. So are you in or are you out? It's like, you know, I had to throw it down there. I don't want to sit here and wonder. So, like, I will work with you. I will cast you. But you got to make the commitment right here that when the next big thing comes along, you're not just going to bail.
And didn't he bail?
Not that time.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
No.
But what's funny about that is, not only does it hurt you as the director in the overall show, but there's cast members that got told no that were sad they didn't get the role that person or the people got.
Yeah.
And then you have to go back and go, hey, by the way, the guy that I actually wanted, that I had, he bailed. Now, can you come in and be my second quote-unquote pick? That's not fair to the performers either that you're doing that. Or the cast. Now you're hustling right before orientation or right before you're blocking and you go, shoot, where's my cast? And the cast goes, this was in May. Why is it not available? Why are we not ready for this? And it makes everything just kind of, it's a chain effect that people don't think about.
It's upsetting because, you know, it's not like a family emergency came up. It's like they sat there and decided, oh, I have the option of shows. Which one do I bail on?
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man, you committed, and that really does upset me. Like you make a commitment.
Yeah.
That is what you stick to, and if something better comes along, that's too bad. I mean, I don't do that. If I cast a show, and all of a sudden a better actor comes along, I've never.
Are we allowed to do that? No.
Yeah,
we'd be faux pas for sure.
Hey, I know that we cast you, but so, you know, something better happened. So
we didn't realize so and so was actually available. So you understand, right?
Yeah, they
hard feelings.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you can understand. They won an award.
I also think it's kind of interesting, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but I've had a few times over the years where people come in and go, "Hey, I auditioned for another show, and if I get into that show, I might not do this one. It depends on what role I'm offered." And my chest gets tight and I go, what? So if I give you big track number two and they give you big track one, you're out? And then, or I go, I would like you involved, but I want you to invest in this show. I want you to commit fully and go, I'm ready to ride. I want you to be excited about the process as much as we are.
Don't do that.
I know it's
like,
kind of.
Don't.
It's kind of.
Don't
ouch.
Come in and it happens. It happens a lot.
It does.
But I think, man, if you're an actor and you're coming in and you're like, what do you expect the director to say? Like, what is his response supposed to be? Okay, I'll cast you, and then we'll get the cast list up. We'll start the rehearsals, and then if you decide you want to drop out, that's just fine. We won't be affected at all.
Yeah. I know.
Like what? Why would you go in and tell that to... I'm curious, does this, for our Vietnam listeners or Germany listeners...
Does that happen there?
Does that happen there? What do they do over there? Is this a, we're a relaxed Southern California theater where this sort of happens?
Well, it's hard. I think I would almost rather them say to me, hey, I auditioned for this show in New Mexico or whatever. I auditioned for a show there. If you have a hole or gap or something like that, then I would happily step in if you need. I'd rather that than go, hey, put me in the mix, but I might not commit.
Why
do you smirk right now?
I just got a message on my phone from one of the Vietnamese listeners.
Oh.
They said if this were to happen over here, they sent a picture of a bamboo shoot. I don't know what that means.
Oh my gosh. Or they send a picture with your picture and saying, do not cast.
Do not let in the country.
Yeah, do not let in there.
Well, just to close it up, Nathan, you made a great point there. At the end of the day, it's really not about the money, right? Professionalism is about how you show up. And I think that's something that every single person in that room can control and can contribute towards. So that was a great chat, guys.
I want to say this before we end, though.
Yeah.
If we could afford, and the cost of doing community theater on the rights are so expensive, everything is so costly, you know, everyone's paying bills. If we could afford to pay everyone, we would. I'm not driving around a Rolls Royce. Like, I'm on used tires. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously we're contributing to make things great. And if we could pay, we would. Like, and when we have had extra shows or we've made money, we'll give a stipend just to go, here's some gas, go buy some food. Like, we try. And if, ultimately, of course we want to pay. I would love to pay everyone that comes through. And I would even pay everyone before I paid myself. That's bad business, but I would. Like, that's the truth. Sorry.
Absolutely. Any closing thoughts on that, Mike?
No, I think that had...
All right,
I think you put a nice little bow on that one. So for the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, this is Alfonso.
Yeah, this is Michael. We'll catch you next time.
Later.
Well, Nathan. Well, so Nathan's here too, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Yeah, he forgot about me, but it's okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.